one of our star performers when it comes to sport. Commonwealth Games gold medalist. Of course, she took a silver at the World Champs back a couple of years ago. And now she's gearing up for the 2016 Rio Olympics in August. We're talking about Kimberly Mickle, or Kim Mickle, as we know her very affectionately. She joined me in the studio. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Pete. How you going?
Good, thanks. I might just ask you to just raise that microphone a bit, just like that's it. How are you sounding?
Hey.
Oh, you sound amazing. Lovely now. Ooh. How you going?
I'm going really good, actually. Well,
thanks for coming in.
Oh, look, any time. Actually, first time coming in these studios. So
is it? Well, as you can see, they're really modern. But anyway, apart from that, they do the job. How's the shoulder? Because you've been out of action for a little while.
Yeah. Look, I've unfortunately had to have a shoulder recon about 13 weeks ago.
Not the ideal thing for a javelin thrower.
No, especially a year out from the Olympic Games. But it was something that I had to do. I unfortunately kept dislocating my shoulders, throwing and lifting and all these sorts of things. So had to unfortunately do it, but I've just had the dream run. Like, I've heard so many horror stories about shoulder reconstructions, but I've just absolutely creamed it. Like, it's amazing. Like, every time I set myself a goal, I've nailed it. So,
Sort of goals? Were you talking about set yourself a goal since you had the operation?
Oh, well, the first one was literally, can I do a kneeling push-up was my first one. And then I thought, maybe I'll have to do that for a few weeks and then maybe against a wall and then try and progress. But the second day I was doing a full body push-up and now I'm doing it with weight on my back already. So, the shoulder's just recovered so well. And I actually went away to Melbourne to get it done with a guy that's done a lot of other sort of shoulders similar to mine. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty happy I did that. So I think his technique and my shoulder have really gotten along very, very well. And obviously the amount of training I've been able to do has just been absolutely awesome. And I just couldn't have actually asked for a better rehab that I've had.
Good. So, and you were telling me just off air that you gave the shoulder a bit of a test. Was it this morning or yesterday you actually went to the golf course?
I just went to a random park. But, the physios, I actually asked them, they said, oh, Kim, you're probably wondering when you're allowed to throw a jab. And I said, well, no, I'm actually more curious to when can I swing a golf club. And, they said you can have a little dabble with some chipping. That was like a couple of days ago. So, went out with a bucket and some balls and tried to chip some balls into, to the bucket. And I thought I was going to nail a few of them, but completely, like, I suck now, but the shoulder was good. I'm just crap at, direction.
Now, you can't throw a javelin yet. When will you be able to throw a jab, you reckon?
Hopefully I'll start maybe February, then just really go slow with it. So obviously with a shoulder, they've completely reconstructed it. So, it's just baby steps for now and then really, really ramp on, like probably May onwards. So now's just time to get it really, really strong, start to throw things like medicine balls and baseballs and then maybe a heavier style ball, and progress from there. And then finally, when I can actually feel a bit confident, I'll then chuck a jab in my hand. So,
and you were telling me certainly it's a different preparation to the previous Olympic Games and Commonwealth Games because you've had this injury, but you're not fazed by it because you feel it may work in your advantage. Yeah. Tell us why.
Yeah, look, glass half full. In Australia, unfortunately, we have to peak twice because we have to qualify first for the major, and our domestic season's from February to April. Mm. So everyone peaks for that to just try and qualify for these major championships, and then the major championships are in August, so then you have to peak again. And unfortunately, like, the people that dominate our sport are the Americans and Europeans, and the reason why is because their qualifying period is in their summer, which is literally the month before the major. So they just train all year round and then just peak for the major. And that's one thing that Aussies unfortunately lacking, because our summer's in their winter, so we have to do it a bit backwards. And this shoulder, like, I'm already qualified for Rio, so I don't have to qualify anymore. So now I can actually adopt almost a European-style program and literally just train all the way through and peak once and once only. And I actually think it's a bit of a blessing in disguise because, training is where it's all at. So I'm just going to put my head down, bum up, train as hard as I can, and peak for the big one.
I see you've got a looming birthday just after Christmas.
Ugh.
Yeah, so born in 1984, so the sums make it that you're, what, 31?
Dirty 30 right now.
And, yeah, 31.
Yeah.
So in your sport, is age a problem in a sense? Now, you've got all, you mentioned the Americans and also the Europeans that come through the system. When you're competing at Rio, there'll be a few younger than you. Will there be a few older than you? What's the age bracket of certainly the top javelin throwers?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, every single world record, world lead throw, or even world champion has like usually been between the ages of 28 and 32. So
is that right?
For Rio, I'll be 31. So,
so you'll be in your peak.
There. Yeah, and like our world record holder, she's 34, still throwing and still winning everything. So my sport, like, it's not like gymnastics where you're retired at 16. Yeah, it's a bit of a longevity sport, and because it's so technical, it really does take a long time to actually figure out how to throw the thing properly. And then obviously to iron out all the kinks and have whatever surgeries you need to have on the way, which unfortunately I've had a fair few of them. But yeah, look, I'm still feeling like I'm the young pup out there. So yeah, I definitely feel like I've got a few years ahead of me, and we've got the Comm Games in 2018 in the Gold Coast, so that'd be pretty epic to hang around for.
So you're saying Olympics, of course, in August next year in Rio.
Yep.
And then the Comm Games on the Gold Coast, and you seem to have a very, very strong mental approach to this, and it doesn't seem like things faze you, because anybody else that had a shoulder operation like yourself heading into an Olympic Games may have been a bit stressed or a bit phased. You seem to be pretty relaxed with it all.
Yeah, oh, look, there's no point not being, I think. It's just a waste of time. But I'm lucky because I do have the time to get right, and I know that I'm going to push my body to the nth degree to get there. So I've got no doubt that I'm going to get back bigger and better. And yeah, like it's just another challenge. Like I reckon this is almost going to be like, I'm thankful it happened, because it's given me some time to reboot, to sort of stop, settle down, reassess what I want, how I want to do it, and start again. And that's kind of cool, because I've now really ironed out all the things that I've wanted to achieve. And yeah, like I've literally figured out what works, what doesn't work, and now I'm just doing what works, and it's been awesome.
Is a medal on your radar for Rio? How do you feel about that?
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
Is it in reach?
Yeah, oh yeah, I definitely want one of them, preferably the gold one. But yeah, look, I've always said that it's my time. I've been top three in the world the past 3 years. So from 2013, 14, and 15, I've ended the year top three. So yeah, nothing's going to stop me, especially this shoulder. And yeah, like I said, now I don't have to double peak. I've just got one goal and one goal only in my head. And it's 9 months. I think 2 days ago was 9 months to Rio. So certainly a lot of time. And yeah, the last 4 years I've been thinking about this. So for the fact that it's only 9 months to go, it's pretty exciting.
Your personal best, 66.83.
Yeah. Yep.
You reckon you can beat that? Would you need to beat that?
Yeah, well, my mum and dad actually said if I ever throw 70, they're going to throw or hold a 70s party for me. So that'd be a pretty cool, fun thing to do. So 70 metres sounds all right.
Good stuff.
Until 6.
Bouncing around with Peter Vlahos.
On 882 6PR.
Yes, and our special guest in the studio is Kim Mickle, who is our champion javelin thrower from this part of the world. We've spoken about her aspirations and where she's at after shoulder surgery. She feels that she's going to be at her best come Rio next year around August, when it all happens in South America. But let's find out about her as a person. And Kim, you're a Mandurah girl. You actually grew up down in Mandurah, did you?
Yeah, went to the Freddie Irwin High School and absolutely loved it down there. If you're not surfing or playing some form of sport, you're watching it on TV. And I think that's where I sort of developed all my sporting passion down there, for sure.
Yeah, and you were saying off air that you've got a real sporting passion. You've got one older brother and, of course, your mum and dad, and you all love your sport.
We do, yeah. My brother, he's a bit of an ocean man. So if he's not out in his boat diving, fishing or surfing, he doesn't know what to do with himself. And like my dad, like, used to play footy and Ironman and surf lifesaving, and yeah, my mum was just always involved in everything. But unfortunately, none of them decided to do anything elite. They probably earn a bit more money with a normal job. Yeah. and drink beer every now and then. But no, I've chosen the elite life of sport and living the dream.
Yeah. So was it a case of your parents enrolling you into little athletics that all of a sudden they thought, gee, this young girl's got a bit of power and a bit of ability that, of course, you became who you became?
Sort of. Like when I was younger, I literally played every single sport there was invented. And I even had a season of squash. Like I just did everything. And one of my mates actually came up and said, oh, Kim, like I'm going to join up my little athletics club, which is just down the road. Do you want to come join with me? And I was like, well, sure. I haven't done that before. So yeah. Off I go. And the one thing, like I was always really fast and really good at kicking and catching and jumping and all these sorts of things. But the one thing that I was just way better than anyone else was throwing a cricket ball. And I literally didn't realise that girls and boys should have had different abilities. And I used to go out and just throw with the boys older than me and be able to throw further than me, and thought that was normal. So when I realised that was a bit abnormal and I found a sport that you actually chuck things, I found myself wanting to do that a little bit more.
So you're saying you're a bit of a tomboy, used to play with the boys in the neighbourhood, used to play cricket, and used to throwing with a cricket ball, though, you were saying.
Yeah. Oh, look, they'd always put me on the boundary.
On the boundary.
Yeah. No, it was pretty funny because all the boys just obviously never want to play with the girls, but I'd end up, like, beating all the boys, so they still didn't want to play with me because they didn't want to be beaten.
When did you realise that, hey, I'm not bad here, I can achieve something in this sport?
Pretty early on. I always got told I was too short to be an elite javelin thrower because obviously throwers are quite big, and whenever anyone sees me, they go, you're not that big at all. Like, how are you a thrower? But I've just got this fast arm, and like when I was 18 was probably when I – well, sorry, 16 was probably when I realised this is probably going to be my career. Was I went to the World Youths and was ranked dead last with a PB of 47, went over, chucked the Aussie gear off on, and went to Hungary to throw and threw almost 52 metres and won the World Youths, which only three other Aussies did that year, and came back a world champion. So that was kind of when I cemented javelin into my life.
You also told me that you're very good in other sports. At one stage, you could have been part of the Perth Glory women's side.
Yeah.
Tell us that story.
Funnily enough, after the year that I went and won the World Youth Champs, I went to the World Juniors and blew my elbow out, and unfortunately had to have another reconstruction there. But to keep fit, I decided to join, because my mate was playing just the local soccer team, and I was playing for the Northern Redbacks. I've played one game for Division 3 or 4 or whatever it was, and the next game I was already in Premier League playing. They nabbed me there and played for about 3 years, and we ended up winning every year. And I was a striker along with Lisa Devana. Jeez. And we were absolutely killing it. And that was when the Women's Glory was starting to play, and they definitely wanted me involved. But that was when my elbow started to actually function like a javelin thrower, and pretty much the Institute of Sport said, look, Kim, you're going to have to pick either soccer or javelin, and it was a no-brainer for me. I've loved my jav, so I picked that one.
Well, you've been an absolute ornament for West Australian sport, and you've been fantastic. So when your days are over and you've got a couple of gold medals hanging, let's hope they achieved, of course, at Rio and maybe at the Gold Coast, and you decide to hang up the javelin, it's been so good to you, what do you think you'll be doing?
Oh, playing a lot of golf.
Yeah, golf?
Yeah. No, I bloody love the sport. Yeah. I've gotten addicted to it. I literally, the first question I asked my surgeon wasn't when can I throw a jab, it was when can I go play golf. So, I got a bit addicted to it last year. I was playing like once every couple of weeks and got my mark down a fair bit. Like I only ever...
What's your handicap?
I'm not associated with the club, unfortunately, but and I only play 9 holes because, like, it's always on my recovery day. But I got it down to 41 before I popped my shoulder out, and then I haven't played since. So, like I said, when I went with my little pitching wedge in a bucket and couldn't get it anywhere near, I was a bit devoed.
Yeah. Finally, if you have to have a real job, what would be your real job?
Oh, your job sounds pretty good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're more than welcome. I tell you what, you're very comfortable in front of the microphone. You feel very relaxed. I tell you what, you could cut it in this gig.
Yeah.
No worries.
I'll see you next year, maybe.
Yeah.